Hi, I'm Sophie. I'm from France and I'm a Coldplay fan.
Hello everybody, and welcome to Code Talks, the Coldplay Fans podcast, for another episode, for another week. I am your host. My name is Rodrigo. I think you know me from the previous episodes, and if you don't, hello, nice to meet you. And yeah, this is another week, this is another episode, this is another conversation we're going to have here. Things have been very quiet this past few days and few weeks. Well, they finished a part of the European leg. Next concerts are on Brussels, which I know lots of people are going as well. And then they're heading straight to Wembley. Well, that we know it's a, like, I think we have six dates, and it's a classic venue for Coldplay. I'm very excited for those concerts, even though I'm not going to those concerts. And I will finish the month on Glasgow, also in the United Kingdom, and then finally coming to Latin America on September and October 2022. I cannot wait for the tour and to get around my my country and São Paulo. And it's so beautiful. Like, I mean, we're always watching people's stories and videos on Twitter about, like, their experiences on tour. And, well, that's actually what we're going to do here as well today. We're going to talk a lot about tours. And again, it's been a very nice thing to have this podcast while Coldplay is on tour, to see what everybody's thinking about it and everybody's experiences. Lots of people are going to, like, four or five shows, and I must say this is amazing. This is something very nice. And well, that being said, and before I introduce today's guest, I must ask you to please follow Code Talks in the platform that you're listening to right now: Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer. Not Apple Music, sorry, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, or Audible, Amazon Music. We're everywhere. And if you have a request about which other platform you want us to go to, please DM me or send me a message. Let's talk about it. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are Code Talks Pod on those two platforms. And if you like the show and want to support it, please consider buying me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/codetalkspod. Today we're going to have Sophie here on the podcast. She's from France. She's basically my age, and I need to say something about that. It's always very nice to see how different generations react to Coldplay, because they're a 20 years old band, and I have already had some people here who are on their early, like, 20s, final, or on the final years of their teenagehood. I have already had people here that are way older than me, or a little bit older than me, but they have totally different perspectives on how the band acted on their lives, at the same time that we have very similar stories to tell as well. So it's a very diverse perspective. And today with Sophie, we're going to have a very nice, for me at least, like, those 24, 25 years old people. they it's funny, because it that's even something we mentioned today. It's how the albums that we listen when we usually are on our teenagehood usually are our favorites, and how that applies to Coldplay is phenomenal. It's almost surreal, because it is a very similar pattern. I don't know. It's a very specific point, but I wanted to mention it before we begin, because it was something that I noticed when I was recording. I noticed when I was editing, and I think you guys listening to it right now, you are going to be able to notice that as well. So yeah, I hope you like it. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and yeah, let's go. Sophie, Code Talks, right? Hi, Sophie. How are you?
Hi, I'm very good. How are you?
I'm pretty fine as well. It's so good to have you here, like.
I'm happy that you invited me.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. It's nice to have like the whole family around and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sophie, why don't you introduce yourself to the people who know your Twitter handle, but probably not your voice?
So I'm Sophie. I'm from France and I love Coldplay, of course. And I think that's like the main things you need to know about me, but.
Yeah, those are the main things. I know that you have recently been to the enormous Paris concerts that we had some weeks ago.
Yeah, true.
And we're definitely going to talk about that. But before that, I wanted to ask, like, how did you come in contact to Coldplay? How did you discover them as a band? And why did you decide to, like, oh, this is my favorite band, or those guys deserve my attention in a very specific way? How was that?
So I think it started 10 years ago, so during Milo era. So I can't remember the first time I heard them. I probably had heard Every Teardrop or Paradise on the radio. But I remember that I was subscribed to a magazine, a teen magazine. So I was 15, or not like 14. And
got it.
They would do a special page at the end with releases of the month. So like albums, films, books, like anything cultural. And I remember seeing the Milo Xyloto cover. And I didn't know a lot about Coldplay, apart from probably Paradise, that was played a lot at the time. And I was like...
Oh. Did you remember which cover was it?
Because we have it's the one that's not the silver one, the other one, like the graffiti thing.
The best one.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's and so I saw it and I was like, wow, I only know one song from it, but... I want to know more about this album. And I knew nothing about Coldplay.
Yeah.
Even like music. I loved music, but I didn't have a favorite band. I just listened to anything that was on the radio or like stuff that my parents listened to.
Yeah.
So I was like, I really want this album. And yeah. I don't know. I can't explain why. Because this the first time I felt something like that. Just seeing the cover. And
yeah.
So it was Christmas, I think. So I was like, when I get some money at Christmas, I will buy the album. But it turns out that someone offered me the album for Christmas. So I got it.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't even talk about this to anyone, but someone from my family thought that I would like it. And they were right.
Yeah.
So I got the album, and that year it's the album I listened to the most. I loved the album. I think at the time, I loved Milo Xyloto more than Coldplay. Like, it was just...
Wow.
I would mainly listen to it. And then I started, you know, wanting to know who the members were. And so I discovered the other albums as well. But I just fell in love with the era. Like,
Milo.
Yeah, Milo was so great.
Yeah, it was a very important era for Coldplay. Like, it was a very... it was an era full of changes to the band, which I think was like they were necessary changes. Not because what was before it was bad or something. No. Viva La Vida is my favorite album and my favorite era from Coldplay. Like it was really not bad. But I think it was a nice update.
Yeah,
they did.
Very true.
Back then. When I saw like your Twitter handle, I saw that it was like... Xyloto something.
Yeah.
And I remember that, well, now that, that you're talking about it, I can see that, well, this probably has a reason.
Yeah.
Can you say that this is your favorite album?
Yeah. I think I hesitated like for years to decide which album was my favorite, but now I'm certain that it's Milo. Like, it hasn't changed now.
It is difficult.
I don't know if it's their best. I still can't decide, but it's my favorite, definitely.
There is a big difference, right? Like, oh, this is the best or this is my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know. I cannot choose like a best album because it is just my opinion, you know, it's too much pressure, too much to handle to say like, this is the best. This is definitely the best.
Yeah, true.
No, that's not the case. It's funny because when I have already mentioned this on the podcast, you probably may have like already listened to it, but Milo Xyloto was a very important album for me. Like personally speaking, because I remember, I think when you said it, like you were 14, 15 yeah. back when the album got released, I think I can say we have basically the same age. Yeah. I was like on eighth grade when that album came out. And I remember it's a very like colorful album. It was the first time that they did something like that. It was on the covers and the images and the photo shoots, but also on sound, on how the album sounds. It is a way more like upbeat album since the first single that was Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. And I remember that I was surrounded by people who said like, oh, this is not Coldplay. Like some people who have been fans for quite a long time, but then they listened to that and they said, this is not Coldplay. And I was like, why not? Like, it's the same four guys. And but this was my inside speaking. Like, outside, I was like, no, this is rubbish. This is horrible. This sucks. Ugh. Yeah. But I really loved the album. Like, and I remember that was a time. Like, I was in eighth grade. I was a teenager. I didn't know anything about life and about people and about, like, and I remember like having this feeling, and now when I look back at that time, I see like, what a waste of time. That was a very nice album. Why did I have to pretend something? And this like connects to other things that I was living back then in my life. So it is an album that I have a very special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Because it is a picture of me back then, and it's nice to see that I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah.
But and it's nice to see that's an album that really talks about like being a bright red rose busting the concrete, right? Being exactly this change that the band did, that I did, that apparently everything and everyone around me suffered at the same time. So
I think it's interesting because when I talk with other fans, usually our favorite album, like not the one we think is their best, but our favorite, it's always the one I feel that came out when we were teens. It's always like that. Yeah, usually people the same age as me, so like you and other people, like in our 20s, 25, like that.
Yeah.
We love Milo so much. And bit younger people will love Ghost Stories because it came out when they were teens at the time.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cute that it's the one that came out when we were young and didn't know anything about anything. Like.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the same thing because when it came out, it was my first introduction to Coldplay. So to me, Milo Xyloto is Coldplay. But my sister, who is a bit older than me, so she was a teen when X and Y came out. So X and Y is actually the one she likes the most. And she was like, yeah, Milo is not, this is not Coldplay. So I totally relate to you. Everyone was like that at the time. And I feel like so weird because to me, this is Coldplay.
This is
how I discovered them.
I mean, it makes total sense that people who have been like following the band for a longer time looks and listen to Milo and say, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
And even like, oh, this is different from they used to do. Maybe I don't recognize it at first hand. Like, maybe I don't feel like Coldplay at the first time. But there are songs that are, in my opinion, like built and developed in a very similar way as they did on the previous albums. So on Milo Xyloto. So I mean, I understand that, but at the same time, I think if you let go of this initial resistance that is 100% like expected, I think they as a band expected that as well. I'm not saying that they cared about that. I don't really think that they cared about it, but I think they may have listened to that and say, oh, that's a bit different. Like that may be a little bit different from the previous stuff. But I think all of those albums, everyone that has a certain kind of resistance with the post-Milo era stuff.
Yeah.
I think it is a very nice exercise to like clear your mind a little bit and then go to listen to the record, because you see the same amount of passion from the band. You see the same amount of dedication from the band. You can definitely see the same amount of greatness.
Yeah.
In all their records.
That's true.
All their records. It's funny because that was also the time that I was noticing that I was, as you said, like I as well didn't used to listen to other stuff because I searched for new things. Like I used to listen to what was playing on the radio or what my parents used to listen and those kind of stuff. So that was the beginning of, and I think you can say it as well, and I would love to listen your perspective on that. But that was the beginning of my taste in general, not only musical, but that was the beginning of me understanding what I liked and what I did not like. And that's so beautiful. when you look back, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, like I often say that Coldplay got me into music. Like I listened to music obviously before, and I even like I did some instruments when I was a kid. But I feel like this started something for me in like in sense in terms of music, definitely. Like this is even the first time I was interested in bands in general. So like looking at the members, usually I didn't care what the singers looked like. And so this was the first time I got like into everything music related. So
yeah,
that's why also it's very important for me, I guess.
Probably, yeah. I think Coldplay has a specific kind of magic that that it's so human that you, of course that's not for everyone, but at least for us, like the fans, usually Coldplay is the kind of a band that introduced people to be more interested in music and those kind of things. And I think that it's because, especially after this album that we're talking about, right? It's a band that is so focused on the human being and the human connections and the human emotions and what makes us actually human. Even when they're talking about aliens, they're talking about like being human. That stands out in the crowd, right? Of course, mainly that's any artist's job. I'm not saying that, I have this favorite band and they are better than yours because they talk about being human. No, that's not what I'm saying. Coldplay do that for a long time and B, in a very nice way for people like us, I guess. So it's so easy to connect. I think that's the point. It's easy to connect.
I'm also like so glad that he's decided to be a fan of them and not anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like the thing they do makes you like so proud to be a fan. Like, yeah.
And it's like talking about like people who are a fan for like 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
It's nice to see them grow. I remember talking to some fans. I remember like Jimmy when he was here, Laura, Patrick's mom. Remember Patrick?
Yeah, the little kid.
From the Pledge Arena concert. Like,
he drums, I think.
Yeah, he drums. He was here. His mother was here. And she met Coldplay on Parachute. So I mean, it was a long time ago. And when I see those kind of people who have been like fans since literally 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I noticed that it's a very nice sense of community, and that's, I know that every fandom, I don't like that word very much, but let's use it. I know that every fandom is a community, and but at the same time, I think it's, I don't know, I don't want to have that image of like, oh, look at us, we are so connected, we are Coldplay fans. No, that's not the point. I know that everybody has, like in every fandom has this kind of things, but it's nice to look at us as a fan community and notice how specific we are. I think that's it. How specific and how easy to connect we are, because we like a band that makes so clear their political perspectives, their humanitarian perspectives and ecological perspectives and not saying that everyone is the same because of that. And that's the magic of it, actually. But it's very beautiful to notice how easy it is for us to connect because we have a very similar base, a very similar basics book, you know? Like our book of rules is very same. It's very, very similar. Yeah, I think that's very nice.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, I noticed this when I met other fans at the concerts. Like, it was so great to meet other people, like, for real. And even some people that I didn't know from Twitter before that I met at the concert just like that, or at the Love Button thing. Everyone was just so, so nice. Like, I was like, it makes sense because Coldplay are, like, I feel they have the fandom they deserve. Like, I don't know how to put it in words, but they're kind, so they have kind fans, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was great to meet people that are so nice and share the same love for the same band. It was so great.
Well, since you talked about a concert, I think it's time for us to move on to the concert. Like,
nice transition, I guess.
Nice transition. That was very natural. When was your first Coldplay concert? Let's start like that.
My first show was at a Head Full of Dreams tour.
I was going to ask if you went to Stade de France on 2012, the DVD thing.
No, the iconic one.
Yeah.
No, sadly. Well, so I got into Coldplay that year, and I think the tickets had already gone on sale way before. They only did one show, so it was packed. Like, they did four the last week. So
yeah, I'm going to say that. That's why they choose to do four now, because they did only one.
True. So I didn't go, and I was very sad, especially like, and they released the DVD, so I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't there. But I'm over it now because I've had so many experiences.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
My first show was at the last tour, so A Head Full of Dreams. So I went on the 2017 leg. A European leg, and my first ever show was in Brussels.
Wow.
The second night. This is a night where they did Violet Hill.
Oof.
So it was great for a first show.
Of course.
Yeah.
It was a very specific amount of privilege in only one night, I must say.
It was so magical.
Oh, I can tell. Like, the Air Full of Dreams tour was it has a very special place in our hearts because it was a lot of fans' first concerts.
Yeah.
As I can see that this one right now, it is something similar. Like, I have my tickets, but I haven't attended to the concerts yet.
Yeah.
But I can see, and that's the question. I mean, I see lots of people. I remember Abby from Coldplay Extra asking that on Twitter some days ago, like, which tour, well, you have been to the Half World Dream Tour, and you have been to four concerts, right?
Yeah.
To the Paris shows on the Music of the Spheres era. And which one would you pick? Like, which one do you think is the best?
Oh, this is so hard because
I know. You're here for that.
Like, A Head Full of Dreams is my first ever tour. Like, so it's so special to me because of that. Yeah. I had waited for years, and it finally happened. And it was honestly such a great tour. I think every fan who came to that tour can agree on that. It was so, so great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Music of the Spheres, like, it's such a great show as well. It's hard to pick, especially, like, last tour I went to several shows as well, and I went with people from my family, and there were two shows that I went to on my own, and this time it was different because I went with people that I knew thanks to the band, so it was so special in that way as well. So I can't pick right now. It's so hard.
Yeah, it's unfair, right? I know it is. I like to see people struggling to answer that question. It's funny. But yeah, that's so nice. I mean, that you said it, like, this is the first time that you actually saw the concert with fans. Yeah. Not saying that your family is not, like, they're not fans, but, well.
Yeah, it's different.
They don't run a Twitter account. Yeah, right. They don't run a different a Twitter account because of the band. So yeah. It's different. How many concerts have you been on the A Half-Full of Dreams tour?
Four.
Four. So you have eight concerts in full.
Yeah. Eight stadium shows for now. And one, I went to Berlin in October. You know the thing they did on TV?
Yes, yes.
I also did a few TV things they did in France. But they don't count as concerts. But
yeah.
So
the one in Berlin does.
Yeah, it was a real show. Like, it lasted longer than just the TV thing.
Yeah.
And it was so great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess 8 or 9, you could say.
Got it. Yeah. Eight stadium ones and one smaller one.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, it definitely counts at 9. I was talking, I don't remember who it was, but it was here on the podcast. It was a very recent episode. Like, those smaller gigs are very special as well, because you have it's totally different. It's totally different, from the big one, because I guess you definitely feel more connected, more intimate. That's not connected, it's intimate. I mean, it's a very specific kind of connection that you cannot have in a stadium packed with 50,000 people.
Yeah, it was great because we felt like this was, the only time we would be this close to the band, because in a stadium, when there are 80,000 people, obviously you're one of them, but you're just one person in a sea of 80,000 people. But in Berlin, it was very small. So we were very close to them. Yeah. And I think even if you were at the back, you definitely felt like you were part of the show.
Even if you were on the back at the stadium concert, you're still a very big part of the concert. And I think that's the thing about Coldplay that I like the most right now.
Yeah.
How they make music. First, how they make music turn out to be an event and not only music. Like, there are lots of people who go to their concerts and they say, oh, I didn't used to like that song, but now I do.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So it's not only about the music. If it was only about the music, it was going to be amazing as well. But it's not. It's even more. So they change that thing of listening to music into experiencing the song and the songs. So I used to say that, for example, A Half Full of Dreams for me was very clearly an album that they just put out, just in quotation marks, but they just put out to make a tour about it.
Mm.
It was like an excuse. Like, oh, we have this album. Shoot, now we're going to make a tour. Oh, nah, okay. something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's so different. Like, I wasn't a big fan of A Half Full of Dreams, the song A Half Full of Dreams.
It's amazing.
But I mean, when the song started, when all Xylobands turned red.
Yeah.
And it's just, you cannot not like it.
Yeah.
You can't.
This was such a special moment last tour, because that's when they arrive on stage. So you're like, oh my God, they're real.
Yeah. They're human
and
beings.
Then the
they're
song
human
starts.
People.
It's so great.
Yeah. And we have that Charlene Chaplin speech.
That I loved it so much.
I was watching it, not the movie, but the speech on YouTube the other day. Like, only the speech, not as the tour intro. I was only watching the speech. I remembered it. Like, oh, there is this speech. It exists. And I said, oh, I'm going to take a look on that again. And then I noticed how energetic that is, even without the sound effects and those things. No, only the speech. Like, he has such an amazing delivery as an actor there.
Yeah.
That it's like, and when you put that on a stadium with 50 or 80,000 people and like xylo bands and everything, it just it doubles the intensity, you know.
Yeah, the speech used to make us, I guess, very emotional. Yes. Last tour, because it starts and then it, I don't know how to say, but like, you know, he says a wonderful adventure. Yeah. A lot of times, and that's when the song starts. It fitted like so perfectly. I don't know who had the idea for this, but it was like perfect, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I have so many great memories of that tour. It was my first Coldplay concert. Like, as I said, after my concert was on 2017 as well. And I started listening to Coldplay basically at the same time as you. So it was almost 10 years of not being on a Coldplay concert. they were going to make a Miley Cyrus to tour here in Brazil, but they got canceled, and nobody knows why until today. Not only here in Brazil,
it was like
In
it's Latin still America. A thing, like the canceled tour of Brazil.
It is. I mean,
we still don't know why.
Yeah, but at the same time, 6 years later, they came back twice. They began and finished the tour here.
Yeah,
and they recorded the show. I mean.
Yeah,
I think that's enough. I think that's enough. That's good. They came to Rock in Rio before Miley was released, but the Miley Cyrus era as well.
Yeah.
So, we had a hint. We didn't have the xylo bands, but we had like a hint. We had the beginning of the Miley era here.
Like
well.
They kind of started here, so it's cool.
Yes. It was a very nice act of, it was like not that they needed a redeeming act, but it was like a redeeming act, you know? Like they say, oh, remember like some lots of years ago where we had this tour that didn't happen? Now let's compensate it. They didn't have to do that, being honest. Like, tours get canceled. It happens. Lots of artists like have to deal with that. But they did something to compensate us, the fans. So
it was great nice that they filmed here. Because the crowd in Brazil was awesome. So
yes.
It's perfect that they did it here. Yes.
I am so... they're coming back to Rock in Rio. I'm not going to Rock in Rio. I prefer to go... Like, it was kind of a choice, actually, to go to to the standalone concerts, like the only Coldplay concerts, not the festivals.
Yeah.
But the Rock in Rio crowd, it's literally 100,000 people. 100,000
people.
Wow,
that's
so, I mean,
insane.
Yes. And the last time that they have been here, it was just like the best concert. It's not me, like, I'm not the person who is saying that because like I am a fan. But lots of critics, lots of people who were not Coldplay fans said that that was the best concert of the festival. Not that year, but like from the recent shows, that was the best. And you have that on YouTube and on the internet. I don't know if that's legal. Sorry if it isn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have the Rock in Rio concert on YouTube. And it's just... I remember that I have friends who were there, and I was watching it at home. I remember my whole family was sleeping. It was like very late at night because like they were the closing attraction at Rock in Rio that day, and I was listening to the concert on a very low volume, like very low. But I was so energetic. I felt like I was there because the crowd was so good, and of course the band was so good, and Chris fell down and lots of things happened. And that's a very loved concert for the fans all over the world, but of course, especially from Rock in Rio. Ooh, I didn't expect to talk about Rock in Rio. That was a surprise. That was a surprise.
Thank you.
But please, okay, let's go to the Music of the Spheres tour.
Yeah.
That's very fresh. That's very recent. How was it? How many people? Who did you get to know in person? How was it? Tell me everything.
Oh, so it started... Well, for me, it started the day before because I applied for the Love Button thing.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that as well.
Yeah. So we did three things with them. I mean, you could choose which date. I did all three, but... So the first thing we did started the day before the show. So I already, like, started meeting new people. Everyone was really nice. And then, well, we did the thing. So we distributed meals to people on the streets in Paris.
Oh.
And it was a good experience. If anyone wants to do it, by the way, you can ask me questions.
Yeah.
But it's a good experience.
I remember seeing photos of Tucci on the...
Yeah, we did one together.
Yeah, I remember seeing photos, and I DM'd her, like, how was it? Like, tell me about it. And I ask you that as well, like, how was that? And do you know if they do that, if they're going to do that in the entirety of the tour?
Yeah, that's what they told us, I think. So, well, right now they're doing the every date in Europe. And I'm pretty sure they will be in South America as well. And
got it.
Probably... next year.
Next year, yeah.
For like the other legs that we still don't know about.
Yeah. You're gonna go back in time. Yeah, that's so nice. I mean, and it's nice that they are actually connected to Coldplay. I mean, they're there because of Coldplay, and they're there because of it was a decision of Coldplay. I think Coldplay was there and say, oh, let's have this as a part of our show.
Yeah, it's so great that they do this.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole thing about everything in this tour, like the whole thing about being eco-friendly, well, as eco-friendly as possible, and actually, how did you feel that? Like that was the first tour that they got this. Responsibility, I guess, of being eco-friendly and those kind of things. How was that for you as a viewer, as an attendee on the concert? How was that?
Well, it was great that we were allowed to bring our own bottles. That was a first, I guess, because the Stade de France usually don't allow anything apart from plastic bottles.
Got it.
Even like yesterday, there was a Lady Gaga concert at the Stade de France, and they didn't allow people's bottles. So they only did it for Coldplay.
And I remember that. I mean, it's very hot there in Paris, right? So there was lots of things that like telling people to. Be careful online and those kind of things. How was that as well?
Like always, one week in France where it's very hot, and it had to be the week that Coldplay came.
Oh no!
Yeah, because right now it's actually okay, the weather.
Got it.
But yeah.
Oh, thanks God, right?
So that was great. The bottle thing. Also, we could like refill it anytime we wanted inside the stadium. So that was good. And also, like the videos at the beginning explain to people what your ticket allowed to do. It's like planting trees, reforestation, animal conservation. Kind of know that video very well.
But it's the one that will say something like, please return your xyloband, your wristband in the end. Yeah, I know that.
And also like the kinetic floors. That's a great thing. On the bikes as well.
Cool. When I first saw that, I was like, I thought it was going to be the whole floor
Yeah,
you know, off the tour. And I was like, okay, that's amazing. But also, I thought that seems quite expensive.
Yeah.
And then when I saw there was a specific part of the crowd that was able to go there. Did you happen to go there and jump on the kinetic floor?
I had a problem.
Okay. I asked if you were one of those people who went there and jumped on the kinetic floor.
I did it one night. So I think it's a very good thing because when you enter the stadium, it's like 5 p.m. and Coldplay don't arrive until 9:15 yes. something. So you have a lot of time to kill. So it's great that there's, you know, little activities to do while you wait. And if you do it with friends, it's really fun. So yeah. I did it on the second night because, you know, we were waiting. So why not do this? But yeah. It was very hot and it's so tiring because...
In high.
And you don't really dance. It's more like jumping. So it's...
Yes.
You get tired very easily. But it's fun because they do a little competition with like there are two floors, and they put they play a song, usually a very like upbeat song that's usually famous. Yeah. Like we had Stromae, Alors on danse. At some point there was like Beyoncé as well, Single Ladies. that was great. So they play the song, and then the two floors, there's one on the left and one on the right. And they show the people on screen, and the screen say like which floor did the best. So there's a little competition. And I think even if you don't do it, watching it is pretty fun as well.
It's fun, right? When I saw that, I was like, I really want, even like the bicycle things as well. I remember that I was thinking, like, I won't go to that stuff because A, I'm going to be tired even before the concert. Yeah. And B, like, if I go there, I will miss my spot. And I don't want to miss my spot.
Yeah.
And because, like, I want to be, well, I don't know if I'm actually going, like, to be able to do that. But I want to be on the, next to the B stage. I mean, that requires a lot of not moving because if you do, you lose a spot. Was that true? Like in Paris, like usually people, like you said that you wanted that you were only there on the second day of the tour. And, I saw some people, some pictures that you have taken that, well, you got very close to the stage some days.
So I arrived not that early every night, but I was close because I went to C stage a few times, and C stage is very, very far in the stadium. So you can get a nice spot even if you don't queue early. Like we arrived at 5 when we got a C stage barrier, and it wasn't like there wasn't a lot of people around. So we just stayed there. And because there wasn't a lot of people, that's how we were able to do the dance thing. Because we could keep each other's spots. So that was great.
Yeah.
So, I like C stage. It's fun because, well, you're really at the back. So during the other songs, you don't see a lot. You can't really see the stage. But, you know, there's still the stadium energy. So it's great. And then they do two songs, so you're very, very close when they do those. But it's a fun thing to experience, I think.
Yeah. And usually there are like the most intimate ones, the most intimate songs. So
yeah,
it has that feeling of being really close in a stadium with 500,000 people.
It felt like very... intimate to to hear sparks from so close. That was
special. Like, especially this song.
Yeah.
And I also remember when you talked about like being far and not seeing the stage like properly.
Yeah.
Not properly is the best song, but I remember that like it's unanimous, and everyone that comes here and everyone that doesn't come here and everyone in Coldplay fandom say that there is not a bad place.
Yeah, you know, it's true.
Like, there is not a bad place to sit or to stand and watch a Coldplay concert. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. Like, I think they do, like, they plan the show to satisfy everyone. So, like, if you're close or if you're a bit further, like, they have three stages. That's a lot. Yeah. It's great that they think of everyone. But even if you're like seating, I had seats for the third date. You get such a great view of like the whole stadium. So like, yes, even if you don't see the band that well, you're like, wow, I'm a part of this. Like, we're all, you have a, like I had a time in the show where I was like, wow, I'm experiencing this with 80,000 people. Yeah. And my Zylo, I'm part of the show because, you know, I was one of the Zylo bands.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I think every spot is great.
Yeah.
Because like, even when we didn't see the band that well, because we were very far, you can still like,
and they have the screens, right?
Yeah, they have screens. Yeah. And, you know, if everyone is dancing, you're like, you're just having fun, you know, vibing to the song.
You don't care about seeing the band when everyone's dancing. Come on. Yeah. I remember that when my first concert on the Half Full Dreams tour, and the only one until now.
Yeah.
It was like very far behind, and it was not close to the band as well. But at the same time, I remember like, I had a friend who was like very, very close to the stage. He was literally at the barriers of the A stage.
Wow.
He was like on the Johnny side. So he was looking at Johnny like the whole concert. That was his view. Which is a nice view, of course, yeah, to of look course. At Johnny like so close. But at the same time, he said that he didn't see any of the fireworks. For example.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had like a metal structure on the ceiling that blocked the view of the fireworks. And as my perspective, I saw it perfectly. So, I mean, there is a, but I didn't see Johnny Buckland like 10 feet away from me. That's
you have to choose.
But yeah, it's for the view as well. But at the same time, I mean, there isn't a bad spot. Even if you get, maybe if you get behind of a barrier, like in a metal structure or something, maybe that's not a great spot. But I mean, it is, you still have that great amount of energy. And I remember the previous guest here, Adam, that he says that he was, well, we're talking about energy, and he said that he was a bit shocked about like how Chris Martin is a bomb of energy. And I said that usually he just, and I guess he just replies and he just answers to what the crowd gives the band. So I mean, if you're there in the middle of the crowd, that's no way that's going to be bad.
Yeah, this is one thing that impressed me when I saw them last week, is that they do this every night. And Chris had the same amount of energy every single night. Like, there wasn't one where he felt different. And this was so crazy to witness because, well, it was very hot. Like, what he does requires a lot of, like, energy. He jumps, he runs, he does... I still can't believe how it's possible for a human being
to sings,
that.
You know, like he sings. things at the same time he's doing yeah. this stuff. So,
like,
yeah, I remember Seth, you know, Seth from Coldplay yeah. Twitter as well.
Yeah,
she got the jacket right from a Coldplay concert that Chris oh, specifically yeah, handled her. The jackets because well, she makes them. She makes the jackets.
Yeah, she does like
the replicas.
Her shirts are amazing.
yeah, like they're perfect. And I remember I think she tweeted that, or she posted on her Instagram that they have something like a cooling thing. I don't know. She used the great name, and I just can't use the word thing right now, but. Yeah, they had, like, the jackets had a cooling system, let's put it like that.
Oh, yeah, okay. That
they are not, like, very cool, like, the whole concert. Very hot, sorry, the whole concert. Although Chris takes it off, right?
Yeah.
He changes it. He, in like, the middle of the concert, he takes it off. But, yeah, it is hot. It was very hot, of course. And on summer in Europe, it takes a lot to actually cool down for the night and to get like darker and
it's dark like at after 10 p.m. something.
Yeah,
so very late.
So yeah, so I guess that it was actually very hot also on the concert as well, right?
Yeah.
So not only on the lines and the queuing and the but also in the actual concert, it must have been very hot as well. But again, that was not a thing that it turned out to be any less of a concert for anyone, for the band and for the concert. I mean,
yeah,
and for the
I was surprised because on the third show, so like the 19th, this was the hottest day of the year in France.
Wow.
I think one of the hottest days, like, in history in general in France.
My God.
But the crowd was still amazing. Like, so I think the heat didn't stop anyone, like Chris and the others, obviously. But I think, like, Coldplay concerts give you sort of energy that you can't get anywhere else, because how can you explain that 80,000 people were still jumping after they queued all day under like 40 degrees? So
yeah, that's very specific to say the least. I think my camera had a problem. Okay, now I'm back. You talking about like being hot, I have a it's nothing to do with Coldplay, but I remembered something. Like, do you know a band called Franz Ferdinand?
Sorry, it stopped again.
Oh, yeah. Do you know a band called Franz Ferdinand?
Yeah, I think I know one song, but yeah, I think...
Yeah, they have a very famous song called Take Me Out, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a concert, like, in my town where I live. There was a concert, like, this, I'm talking about, like, 10 years ago, probably something like that. It was a long time ago. There was a concert at a place that doesn't even exist anymore here in my city, that is called Marina Hall.
Oh, okay.
But and it was like not an arena, not a stadium. It was a closed space. So imagine like 10,000 people there.
Yeah.
It was a closed space, but a very big one. So there were something like 10,000 people. But their air conditioning system was broken. It broke in the day of the concert with 10,000 people there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was very, very hot. And like for you to have an idea, like if the floor had sweat on the floor, like dripping on the floor.
Yeah.
It was horrible. The band was very tired. And there was a moment on the concert that they said that they were playing in Marina Hell, which was like a... I always, when people say that they go to a concert and it was very hot, and I say, oh, it definitely wasn't as hot as in that day. And
yeah.
When I saw people like tweeting about how hot it was, that it just could... I could just go to the Franz Ferdinand concert. So. If you're a Franz Ferdinand concert, if you're a Franz Ferdinand fan and you're listening to that, and you are from Brazil, you know what I'm talking about. So. Yeah, so Sophie, I think that's it. Is there anything else that you want to say before we finish?
I don't know. Do you have any questions?
I think that's it. I think that's supposed to be very natural. I really wanted to know about the concerts, and we talked a lot about that. So I think we're good.
Yeah.
Well, so Sophie, thank you. Oh, parentheses. We're going to say goodbye right now, but this is just for the podcast. It's scenographic, okay? It's just for the podcast. Don't worry about turning off and those kind of things. Okay, I'm going to run that. Well, so Sophie, thank you very, very much for being here. It was a very nice pleasure to have you here. And if you want to come to Brazil. Oh yeah. You told me there is one thing that I want to know as well. You said that you have been to Brussels for the first concert, right?
Yeah.
And now you are from France.
Yeah.
So again, are you from Paris?
Paris, so very close to it.
So you are from France and you have been to Brussels. And are you going to Wembley? Because everyone apparently is going to the Wembley concert. So are you going everyone is going to that concert. And how is that experience of going to different concerts in different parts of the world?
Well, Brussels, it was my first time ever in Brussels as well. So that was fun because it's so close to France and I never went to before.
I was going to ask you that. How many hours do you have to travel from Brussels to France?
If you take the train, it's only 2 hours. But
wow.
I went by bus because it's cheaper and it was 4 hours. So that's still okay too, honestly.
Yeah, still short time, yeah.
But Brussels was great. It doesn't feel that different to France, honestly, because it's quite similar. But I loved the stadium. It's a bit, it's smaller than Stade de France, but I like how they arrange it for concerts, because the stadium, the stage, it's hard to explain it, but it's not where it usually is in other stadiums. I like it better that way because I think it gives you a better view from everywhere. But Brussels is a great city, but it's not that different to France, honestly. So I can't wait for London. I wanted to do Wembley because it's so such an iconic stadium, I think. And of course, a lot of friends are going to be there.
And especially for Coldplay. So I can't wait it's a very nice stadium in the story of Coldplay. So
yeah, and also they are from that country. So I hope that the crowd will be the best thing ever because it's kind of their home show. So I can't wait for that.
That's very nice. That's very nice. It's nice to see that. I won't say that each country, but maybe each continent has a very specific kind of crowd.
Yeah.
And if you go to Latin America, it's a very crazy crowd. It's something that people are literally tearing their hair out of their heads because of the band. But if you go to, to Europe, it's totally different, but it doesn't mean that they love the band less or they are less excited or something.
Everyone in the fandom wants to go to a Latin America show or South America in general.
Yeah.
Because the show they filmed in Brazil and we know that the crowds are amazing there. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's... It's
I don't know if a European would survive in a crowd like that. No, but it would be so fun, honestly. It's on everyone's bucket list.
Yeah, I mean, I have never watched a concert outside of my country, a Coldplay concert as well. And I don't. If I never left my country, I definitely never left my continent to watch a concert. And But it's clear it's that Latin America or South America has a very specific energy. It's literally like crazy. I remember when the show started in like in the concert that the first concert I have been to, like I have already been to like stage concerts and I have already been to oh my god, arena concerts and, and stadium concerts. That was the word I was looking for. I have already been to some other stadium concerts, but I remember when the Xylo Benz turned red and all those things we commented about, I Have Full of Dreams live. I had the impression that I was going to fall down. Like I have an impression that the whole thing was going to ruin, and because there was so like everything started to shake, you know, not because there was like a bad condition on the stadium, but because it was very intense.
Yeah.
And so I mean, yeah, it's something that I it took a while in the concert to get used. That's okay. That's how it's going to be. Nobody's going to die. This thing won't break, you know, because it was a very specific amount of energy. And wow, it was enormous. It was enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Sophie, now I think we're coming to an end. Thank you very much for being here. Like, this is your home. Feel free to come back and to talk whatever you have in mind about Coldplay to share with us.
Thank you for having me.
I thank you for joining. Have a nice concert in London. How many concerts are you going in London?
The second show, I think it is.
The second, yeah. That's nice. So have a nice concert on London. The second one is always best. Yeah. It's always better than the first. Okay.
True. The first is the rehearsal for the next.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's the rehearsal. Have a nice concert. Have a nice day. Have a nice week.
Yeah, you
Stay
too.
Stay safe. And if you come to Brazil sometime,
sure.
Be sure to contact me. Okay, I remember talking about that in a previous episode. Like, it's very nice to make this podcast because now I have like spots to jump and anywhere in the world now. Like,
yeah,
so, yeah, and it's recorded. Like, you cannot say that you didn't say anything or that you were not part of this because it's recorded. So yeah. So Sophie, thank you very much. I hope you had a nice time. And that's it.
Thank you. I did.
Yeah. Bye bye. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Go Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Saminis. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luiz Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us in the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Go Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/GoTalksPod to donate whatever you want. Also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GoTalksPod, P-O-D. Thank you very much and see you next week.